Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. You better not try stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Guys Without Jobs, where you can hear a grown man talk about buying out an entire store's worth of makeup. My name is John, and the gentleman I'm speaking of is this guy.
Hey, I'm Lonnie, and yeah, I am that guy that he was just talking about. That was an accurate intro you did there, my friend. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really good. We've been away for a few weeks, guys. Life has just been a little busy, a little crazy. So we appreciate you guys' patience with this show. You know, I think we said from the beginning that we're going to try to do this show as often as we can, as often as life will allow us. But we enjoy doing it, so we appreciate you guys listening and watching and supporting us.
Yeah. John was wanting to go last week, and I couldn't. I just couldn't. I was buried last week, and I'm finally kind of catching up with everything this week. So I'm good to go for the next, I don't know. Oh, well, I'm going to be out of town next week. So, but we're here now. That's all that matters.
You want to tell them where you're going?
Yeah, we're actually making a trip up to Cincinnati. Candace and I are going to go visit the Yarberries up in Cincinnati for a few days.
It's so going to be fun. Yeah, Lonnie has seen so many of my garage sale videos that he's like, I got to move to Cincinnati. I got to hit these garage sales.
Yeah, we're actually going to be looking for a house to buy in the
The timing's good, actually, because I just saw a banner outside of my neighborhood. My neighborhood garage sale is the weekend that you're coming.
What, you're of the neighborhood you live in?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yep.
Are y'all going to hold a sale at your house during that?
No. We did a sale earlier this year.
That's right. I knew that. But wow. Okay. Okay. Cool. All right. I'll be able to scavenge. We're going to stick together, I guess.
Yeah, I think we should. It'd be more fun.
Yeah, it would. Oh, man. That's going to be a blast, man. I can't wait. I haven't. You know how long it's been since I've been to an actual garage sale other than the 127 sale? It's been a little while.
I was going to say, yeah. I couldn't go that long, man. I go through withdrawals. Even if I didn't need stuff, I'd still go.
Well, I wrote it down a little while ago. And within the span of about 2 weeks, I bought 220 pairs of jeans. I bought $1,400 worth of inventory at a private pick, which is basically like early access to an estate sale. I think I bought like around 100 pieces of inventory there. I bought 238 Hot Wheels cars, and those are expensive Hot Wheels too, by the way. They were like just $3,600 for that deal alone. And then a few weeks back, I bought, probably about 3 weeks back, I bought 2,300 pieces of makeup, of cosmetics.
And how much did you spend on this makeup?
The makeup I spent a little over 10 grand on. All told, in the span of about 2.5 weeks, I spent about $17,000 on inventory.
Oh, my God. So, I think it's safe to say that most resellers don't spend that in a year.
I typically don't spend anywhere near that myself. So that's why I haven't even been talking to John much lately. Like, I've been buried for the past, I'd say, month, just grinding, listing. And I've gotten, like, all that stuff that I mentioned just now, it's pretty much all listed. I've got a few things in these boxes that are sitting behind me, maybe about 200 more pieces, and I'll be done with all the stuff I just listed there.
How fast is the makeup selling for you? Is it already, selling some?
It's selling at a good clip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like over this past weekend, I think I probably had about 50 pieces of makeup go out over the weekend. Wow. And like for tomorrow, I have maybe 20 pieces going out already.
Do you have any idea yet of how much money you think you'll make on it?
Yeah, I think I'll probably net somewhere. Some, I'd probably say around $35,000 net profit or so, something like that. But it's going
to – That's incredible.
It's going to take some time to realize
that. Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. But,
the hard part is mostly done, though.
Because that's amazing.
Packing the stuff is pretty easy. Yeah, that's why I couldn't turn it down. But that's where I've been, is working through all that stuff. Because
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Not that long ago, maybe, what, 6 months ago or more, you bought a bunch of Funkos, like tons and tons of Funkos.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather be buying and selling Funkos all the time or makeup?
I'd say makeup. And the only reason is because, for one thing, makeup is probably in higher demand. And makeup is way easier to ship.
Yeah.
And it's smaller. It's way easier to store. Like, I had 2,300 pieces and boxes that could all fit on that table that were right there.
Yeah.
If you had 2,300 Funkos, I don't know that I could, physically fit them in this shed, on the floor.
Right.
So, yeah. I'd rather the makeup for sure. But, I'm looking forward to going to these garage sales up in Cincinnati because the fun part is the buying part.
Yep.
And I haven't been experiencing that lately. I've been experiencing the listing and shipping part a lot. So
yeah.
I'm ready to get to it.
I got a fun story I'll share. Tonight, Whitney's sister and her husband came over with their kids, and we were all walking to the nearby park, the playground, for all the kids to go play. And my brother-in-law, Brennan, who also has a YouTube channel called The Curious Picker. Mm-hmm. He was like, "Hey, look at this." And it's trash night. And one of our neighbors had thrown out this gaming chair and it looked like perfect condition. They just set it out at the trash next to their cans. It's called the X Rocker Pro Series pedestal chair. Here's a picture for those watching on YouTube. Retails for $350. And this thing looked to be in perfect condition. So I was like, "Stay here. I'll run get my van." Because we were like a block away from the house. So I went back, we threw it in the van, and then I put it in his car when they left. But absolutely free. And we got to talking, and I'm like, "Man, we should just drive the neighborhood every trash night. We could film it, make videos. You know, one week it'll be on my channel, one week it'll be on his."
Mm-hmm.
We'll just spend 10-15 minutes driving the neighborhood and seeing what kind of trash we can find.
This is almost starting to sound like a Taco Stacks video.
Except we're not going to be doing any scrapping.
You're not going to get the heavy duty gloves on and start snatching old rusty barbecue pits off the street.
No, not doing that.
That's cool, man. So I guess he's going to sell that local, I would imagine, huh?
Yeah, he'll flip it local. It's way too big and too heavy to ship. But
I'm probably get $100 or so, huh?
I think he probably will get $100, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty nice chair.
Yeah, and he's got a full-time job. And
he does, yep.
And he does the picking stuff on the side. Although I could tell by watching his videos and stuff, I could tell where his passion truly lies, because I've talked to him about his job before, and I'm sure he probably likes his job fine, but his eyes don't sparkle quite the way they do whenever he's talking about picking. So,
right. Yeah. He loves to pick music. Yeah. I'd say is probably his number one passion. He's got a channel for music too, where he gives guitar lessons, but yeah, I think reselling is a close second passion of his.
Well, that's cool. That was a nice little $100 come up while you're walking to the park.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's amazing what my neighbors throw away. Like, it always surprises me.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen here. And if it did, if somebody put something like that out on the curb, it would be all ragged out, dog pee on it and stuff. You know, it'd be gross. Well, I've been doing for the past, I would say, 3-4 weeks. I think I told you this before. I've been doing the thing where I'm shipping less.
That's right. You're doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been working out pretty well, although Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are, stupid. especially with all this cosmetic sales and jeans and Hot Wheels and stuff.
Yeah.
But like today was a non-shipping day and it was so peaceful here. I didn't have to go. I didn't have to go anywhere. Like it's really working out well. I'm very glad I did it.
Doesn't sound like it's been affecting your sales any.
No, at least not yet. At least not that I know of. How would I know?
Yeah.
You know, maybe I would have sold 10 or 20% more and I just don't know. So, but it's doing a lot for my mental well-being, tell you that.
I bet it is. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little tempted to try it.
Why not?
Yeah.
Worst thing that could happen is that you're like, oh man, my sales suck now and I'll stop doing
right.
I'll stop doing that thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you've just got everything on 2-day handling, right?
Yeah.
Is the only change that you had to make.
Yep.
Yep.
And I haven't had anybody like really complain or anything. Now, there are some things I do, like if I'm packing stuff up on a Friday and I have on Friday morning, and then if orders come in before I leave, mm-hmm. I typically will go ahead. I'm like, well, I'll go ahead and pack those also. Yeah. When I made, well, I would do that on a Friday. That's a poor example. Maybe a Monday morning orders mm-hmm. are coming in during the morning while I'm packing. I'll probably right. go ahead and pack those too. So I, you know, cause I know I'm going to be waiting till Wednesday.
Yeah. You know,
things like that, where I would normally just put it off till the next day. I don't put off orders till the next day quite as much anymore.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But yeah, nope. There haven't been any complaints though. I really haven't.
It's good. We got a couple of viewer questions this week. You want to take one of them?
Yeah.
All right. This first one is from George Ross.
I know George.
Yeah.
Hey, John and Ollie. It's George here from the UK. Got a YouTube channel, George Ross Retro Reselling. Love what you guys are doing on your YouTube channels and also the podcast, obviously. Got two questions. The first one was YouTube related. I've recently passed 10K subs a couple of weeks ago. And it's amazing. Get sent loads of cool stuff from viewers. They buy stuff from me. But the problem I was having is keeping up with messages. So obviously I get questions, messages in YouTube comments, emails, Facebook, Instagram. I feel bad if I can't reply to every single one. That's just 10K subs. How do you deal with that at 80 or 100,000? Do you dedicate a slot each day? Do you apply to everyone? Do you apply to no one? How does that work? And then golly. the second question was, if you was to go back in time to a past job that you hated and you could play the song, take this job and
Okay, so it cut off there, George. It only lets you send a minute message, so I apologize. But from what I was gathering as your question is, he wanted us to pick a previous job and play that song. We'll do his first question first. By the way, George, congrats on 10,000 subscribers. That is
that's awesome.
Amazing. No small feat, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, George is a cool dude too, man. What's the name? Like, I'm subscribed to his channel, but what's the name of the channel?
Let me play it again. I think it's
George
called
Ross Retro Resell or
something. Yeah.
It's George here from the UK. Got a YouTube channel, George Ross Retro Reselling.
Retro Reselling.
I love what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I remember when he just started YouTube, so he's grown fairly quickly.
I guess I'll answer it first. Okay. Yeah, I reached a point where I realized that I couldn't reply to every comment and message and everything. It's like George said, it gets to be too much because there's Facebook, Instagram, emails, comments on the videos, Twitter, like all these possible different, and eBay. I get messages through eBay that have nothing to do with my eBay. It's, you know, mm-hmm. stuff about the YouTube. So I don't attempt to reply to every single one. I just can't. I when I have time, I reply to the ones that I can. And that's kind of the way that I handle it. So if I replied to every single message on every platform I got, that's all I would do all day. I wouldn't get anything else done.
Yeah, I'm worse than John. I don't reply. I pretty much don't reply to any Instagram messages, any Facebook messages, any emails, any eBay messages. I don't reply to any of it. I do reply to eBay messages that have to do with an actual like purchase that's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll answer questions about items. But no, I don't answer those questions. Now, the only time I do have to answer questions is if it's in regards to, I sell the box resizers. And if someone sends me a question about an order they made, well, obviously I have to provide that customer service and I answer that. But otherwise, like in my videos, and I know it sounds like I sound like a total jerk right now, and I understand that, but I advise people to put, you know, what they're going to say, put it in the comments where other people can see it. And even I can see it and read it and maybe answer it in a video, or other people can help.
Yep.
Or other people can get, like, because a one-on-one communication, that might be good for you, but it ain't going to help anybody else.
Right.
I think it's important to amplify that and for it to go into the comments where other people can see it and learn from it or answer it. Or the other thing a lot of times are actually I tell people doing my descriptions is I tell them, hey, I'm a member of a really cool Facebook group, RVA Flips. And that would be a great place to put these types of questions.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't answer one-on-one questions because I cannot.
Yeah.
And I hate to be like that, but there's just too many, like I have so many of them coming at me that it melts my brain. And I've only got so much time, and I'm already kind of stressed out, honestly. So, and I hate to be like that. And I know it sounds like I'm being a jerk, and I do apologize for that. But the reality is I don't have time for it.
Yeah, it really stinks because, I mean, I remember when I started my channel, I could reply to every single comment because right. I would get maybe 10 on a video. I do try to reply when I can to comments. I at least try to reply to a handful every video, you know, at least give them some hearts and things like that. And I do the same thing. I'll pull questions from the comments and then I'll, you know, answer it in a video in depth. See, that's the other thing is that a lot of questions that I get on videos, I can't just put it in a comment. I mean, I'll spend 2 minutes in my video explaining the answer to the question. So it's just a little bit too in depth. The Facebook group, though, is an excellent point. I really like that Facebook group. It's RVA Flips Reseller Water Cooler. And if you guys aren't a part of it, I will put a link down below in the description. It's just a really positive environment where you can get a lot of good feedback from resellers all over the world.
Yeah, and it's way better than a one-on-one communication, in my opinion. Yeah. Again, I know I'm going to get roasted on that answer I just gave. And I understand because I wish I could – I wish, but you know, on the other hand, I say, I wish I could answer everybody, but what would you rather me or John do? Sit around for 2 hours a day answering correspondence or make another video? You know, that's right. The way, like there's like a cost. Like if I'm spending time on this, then I'm not making more videos or I'm not selling more stuff or I'm not spending yep. time. Like there's always an opportunity cost. And one of those opportunities is the opportunity to make another video. So like there's a finite amount of time that I'm willing to spend on this stuff. And yeah, George, I feel for you because that point that you're at right now, that's where things start to really change. So it's appropriate that you're asking that.
I'd say my advice, George, is kind of what you said in your question, is like a finite amount of time. So whether it be 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever amount of time a day that you want to log to it, you know, start it at whatever time and you say, okay, 15 minutes, I'm going to stop. And then go about the rest of your day and just reply to as many as you can.
I will say about a year ago or maybe a little more, I did an experiment where I'm like, okay, I'm going to every day I'm going to answer every single comment and question that comes in on this video. And let me tell you, like, I did it for about, I don't know, 2 weeks, and then I was pulling my hair out. But I was spending an hour, hour or two a day on that. And I was,
and that's only on your YouTube comments. That's not Instagram, Facebook, eBay, email. Yeah. That's only on your YouTube comments.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, like, it was kind of crazy, but I saw my YouTube traffic climbing. So if you can do it, I guess maybe it might be worthwhile. Maybe, I don't know. I couldn't like withstand it for long. So, but yeah, congrats on your success. I just looked at your channel. You've got like over 11,000 subs now.
That's awesome, George. Cool. If you guys want to see George's channel, I will put a link down below in the description of this podcast.
Yeah. His last video, Dishonest Seller Lies to My Face. Sounds like,
oh, wow.
That's clickbait, George. Ain't no doubt in my mind about that.
it's called retro reselling.
Yeah. George Ross. George Ross retro reselling.
George Ross. Kind of like Bob Ross, the painter.
Yeah. Wow.
I love, man, watching the UK sellers.
I do too, but man, that question is just gonna screw us.
For being people? Honest, man.
Yeah, but honesty a lot of times doesn't get you anywhere though.
This podcast is for the good, bad, and the ugly.
Well, that was the ugly because I don't answer anybody.
I don't think it's a mystery that you don't answer anybody. I think if you polled your viewers and asked them that question and said, how many, you know, messages has Lonnie replied to, I think most of them would say none. So I don't think
I'm probably the worst. I'm really bad. John is probably one of the best, because like every now and then John will be like, so yeah, I got this email from Flippity Flip person, and I told him, I'm like, wait, you answered somebody? What? What are you doing, dude? Okay, that, I may be going a little too far now, but
oh god, that's
terrible. Is that how honest you want it, John? Anyways, yeah.
Anyways,
thanks for the question there, George.
So there's a second part to George's question. So he asked us to pick a job where we could play the take this job and shove it. Do you have an answer to yours?
Well, first of all, if you're gonna say it, you gotta say it right. It's jaw.
This job and shove it.
It's jaw. It's J-A-W-B.
Job.
Take this job and. But you know, our version of that song that we use on the podcast is really good. It's excellent.
It is.
But if you listen to that original version, man, he really cranks out that first line.
Yeah.
That job is so good.
I like our version better than the original, personally.
I don't. I think they're both really good.
Yeah. But
anyways, what is the question? Because he didn't ask.
He didn't get it. He got cut off. But I think where he was going is, if you had to pick one previous job we worked at that where you were able to play that song as you were quitting, I'm guessing, what would it be?
Probably. Oh man, I've had quite a few. I've had a lot of jobs. I'd say probably as a poker dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hated that job. Like the money was great and everything, but the hours sucked. And the worst part about jobs is you have to take crap from people because of your job.
Right.
You know? And yeah, I would have loved to have done that there. Just gave him the middle finger salute on the way out. But you feel like you're stuck though, man. You know?
Oh yeah, like, for sure.
You have to compromise. Like, you have to compromise a lot of things for jobs.
Yeah, so. That's very true. The one that came to mind for me, I worked for a logistics company that was basically the middleman between truckers and company that needed to move freight. And the only thing I really liked about it is I was commissioned, and it was kind of, you know, like you could make as much as you wanted to work. Mm-hmm. And I learned pretty early on, like, you know, 3 or 4 months into the job, it was not for me. I mean, the job was picking up the phone and calling, cold calling nonstop all day, every day. And it just got so old. Like, I could only hear the word no and, you know, screw off and go to hell so many times. Like, it just, I couldn't do it, like, months of that. And it was 7 days a week too. It was just constant. Like, and I would, like, yeah, I got to a point, I'm like, this is not for me. I got to leave. So that would have been a job that I could play that song.
And what was your spiel? Like, okay, you said you had the cold call, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess you had like a list of leads or something like that you were working
for? No, you kind of generated your own leads too.
Like what, like out of the phone book or something, or what? How'd you do this?
No, they had like an internal thing.
Okay.
You know, but like, yeah, you had a
businesses or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so, all right.
God, it's been so long now, man. I'm trying to think how many years it's been.
Acme Industries, how can I help you?
You don't remember the spiel?
Well, there wasn't like a, from what I, it's been like 8 or 9 years, man. But I don't believe that there was a, I wasn't reading from a script or anything. That was the thing. It's like you kind of had some freedom to really sell them how you wanted to sell them. But yeah, your first thing is you just ask for their, you know, shipping department. Like, you want to get the right person on the phone.
So how often would you just get just cold hung up on?
Oh, constant. Yeah. Like,
oh
yeah.
Dude, yeah.
I will say that doing that job, like, gave me some really thick skin. And mm-hmm. like, that's why, like, at a garage sale now, like, it will not make me mad or like whatever. If somebody, I've had hell no said to my face, you know, mm-hmm. multiple times in the last year when I made an offer and it doesn't faze me. I'm just like, oh, okay, no problem. Like,
I think whatever you went through at that job also made you more, a lot tougher on YouTube too, because like over the years, like when we've shared like comments that we've had on our YouTube channels, they always seem to get under my skin a lot more than they got under your skin.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I can laugh it off.
Yeah, I can more now, but back then I couldn't quite as much. And you could. You were like, no, you can't get to John. You can't mess with John.
I've had some pretty nasty comments. Let your mind run wild. Some nasty trolls out there. It's, you know, it's easy when somebody doesn't have to put a face with a comment. They can just say whatever they want.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me now. Now I hardly even read them. No, it's not. Right, yeah. Actually, I do. So I'm kidding.
You
can
say what you want about me because I won't see it.
No, that's actually not true. I read them all. I read pretty much every comment unless it comes in like way later, because on most of my videos or on a lot of my videos, I like look through all the comments looking for questions that I want to put on a video.
Yeah.
Which means I have to read every single comment.
Right.
So, man, we are going to get so much hate on this one. Dude, it's not going to be good. I'm telling you.
It'll be okay. It'll be okay, Lonnie.
We can't publish this. I hope you know that.
All right. Next one. Watch the YouTube viewers of this. Watch Lonnie's eyes when he hears this question, because they're going to roll right out of his head. All right, you ready? This is from Gary.
Okay.
Hey, Lonnie and John. It's Gary Compton from Sydney, Australia, at Flipping Sydney on Instagram. I just had a question for you regarding Viros. Have you been Viroed? And suspensions. So recently, my account was suspended. And it was looking like it was going to be permanent. Fortunately, it was only for 48 hours, but it was because of a counterfeit claim that somebody had posted. It ended up getting resolved, but I wasn't sure whether I was going to be able to sell on eBay for a while there. But have you had any trouble with suspensions before? Just interested to know. Thanks.
Gary, thank you for the question. And
how sexy is that accent though? First of all,
oh, the Australian accent, yeah.
Damn,
I don't think there's a better accent in the whole world than Australian, is there?
Absolutely the best.
It's got to be number one. I think it's pretty cool. We got listeners, you know, mm-hmm. all over the world calling in. That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. You know what? This is going to get really gross because this is John's thing. Go ahead, John.
Gosh. I don't want to give the whole spiel.
I don't either. I don't want you to.
First off, I've been lucky. I've never had a Vero suspension.
Have you had Vero takedowns, though?
Yes, I've had Vero takedowns, but never suspensions.
Give us an example of a few takedowns you've had.
I'm trying to remember, man. It's been years. I want to say it was something sort of like a Mary Kay type thing, but not quite Mary Kay.
I've heard of what's the acne? What's
Proactive?
Proactive. I've heard of them doing it before.
Really?
I've been warned about Mary Kay doing Vero takedowns before.
I've heard from a close friend that he just posted Mary Kay and they took him down. So here's the thing about Vero, okay? I'm going to give you a really short and sweet spiel. The purpose of Vero is so that companies can protect their product from counterfeit or something infringing upon the actual thing, okay? Example, if I put a mouse on eBay and I draw an Apple on there and I say, this is an Apple mouse, and it's not, that gives Apple the opportunity to take it down and protect their thing. Here's the problem. eBay literally does nothing with it. They started the Vero program. Any company or any person can go on and say anything they want about any product. And eBay does not ask questions. They take it down immediately. Sometimes they suspend you. Sometimes they don't. But they do not get involved besides taking down your listing. It's your job to fight it if you want to. If you think you have a, you know, a correct claim that it's not counterfeit or whatever. The problem is, it's usually not worth fighting over. It's, you know, one thing worth $20 or whatever. So it's, that's my spiel. A lot of companies abuse Vero program. But it's sad. Like, I could go on right now to any account I want to and just say Vero, and they take it down. No questions asked.
There's a little more to it than that, though. Like, there are some things like it gets dicey, like, when it comes to software, because software comes with, like, end user license agreements, the EULAs, pages of information that nobody ever reads. Like, what is the language software?
Oh, Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, Rosetta Stone. Don't try and list that. Promise you. Don't, trust me on that one. I've had plenty of takedowns over the years too. Not really too many lately. John is a fighter. He wants to fight them all. I say path of least resistance because I don't want to get my account suspended or shut down or anything like that. I don't know. This is something that nobody ever wants to tackle or not very often on YouTube because there's no like real answers. This is almost like trying to talk about fair use, fair use of intellectual, fair property. Use of like copyrighted content. Mm-hmm. Like it's such a gray area. Okay. Here's an example too, John. Like, let's say I'm selling some item that's brand new in the package, right? And company X sells that item brand new in the package also. But when you buy it from them, it comes with the full manufacturer's warranty and support and all that stuff, right? You buy mine and it doesn't come with any of that. It's going to be me shipping that thing to you and now you're on your own. So I think a lot of times companies try to say, well, that's not really new then. You know, or it's some kind of like gray market type situation or something like that. So I don't know. What was the original question they asked? Did we answer?
Have we had suspensions or takedowns and, you know, kind of how do we handle it? I'd say in the last 3 months or so, I've kind of come around to your side because I had a company message me, I guess it's been 2 or 3 months. It was like these jackets that I bought retail arbitrage. You'll see it's a lot with new products, not so much with used, but it's a lot of new. Because a lot of times companies want to control their price. So the message I got 2 or 3 months ago is this company messaged and said, you're not an authorized dealer. You're not allowed to sell this. And I, and my first instinct, I just got triggered, you know, and I said, I don't have to be an authorized dealer because of the first sale doctrine. You have no authority here. Go away. So what a lot of companies will do is they'll send you a message, a threatening message through eBay because they know that they cannot legally make you take it down. So they're going to try to bully you and threaten you. We're a big company. We'll sue you, blah, 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 blah. So, but then as time went on, I'm like, man, what am I doing? I've got two of these. I'm asking like $20 for them. And they give me like some kind of date to take it down or some bull crap. So I just lowered the price to like 10 bucks to get them sold and be done with it. I'm like, it's just, I'm coming around to realizing that it doesn't make sense to try to fight this battle. It's just sad to let, you know, companies bully resellers, because the more it happens, the more it will happen, and the more companies will realize what they can get away with.
I understand. I understand where you're coming from there. I do, but I just don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Because number one for me, number one is protecting my account. My account has way more value than any particular item I'm trying to sell on it.
Right.
You know, and like you said, it's for new items only, usually, that happens.
Usually,
right?
Usually it's only, yeah.
What if you listed it as used, but then you showed an item with tag, new tags?
Right.
Like, could they still come at you like that? Or, like, I don't know. And try and sell that stuff on, like, if you think eBay's bad, Amazon's got to be way, impossible.
Yes. I've heard horror stories about Amazon, where Amazon does get involved. They're not like eBay, that they will come mm-hmm. after and say, we need receipts and this and that and all the other stuff.
And when they say receipts, they mean receipts from like an official
wholesale,
mm-hmm. like accredited or whatever, licensed or whatever the heck, wholesaler of that item. So it has to actually go through channels that are,
yeah.
You know, and typically they're trying to run all the little small guys out of the market so they can sell it themselves anyway, but that's yep. another story.
Should I share the story about the capos, the guitar
yeah.
capos?
Yeah, I know you love that story. I do too.
Well, you're the one that took that little fire and just poured a bunch of gasoline right on it.
Oh, I didn't think you were actually going to send that message. But
of
go ahead.
Course I was going to do it. All right. So this has been, I'd say, 4 years. It was not long.
No, I hadn't known you 4 years, Eva.
It's 2020. It's been at least 3 years.
It's probably been short. It's pretty, yeah.
Because I was at my old warehouse when it happened, so it had to be 2017. I bought a bunch of guitar capos at an auction. Okay, those are like the clamp things that go on the strings and change, you know, how it sounds. I think I had like 15 or 20 of them, and they were made by a company named Kaiser. And I had sold through about half of them, I think. And I, you know, I priced them a little bit under what they were going for just to get them sold, and they were selling. And then Kaiser sends me an email and they say, you know, you're not authorized. This is not MAP pricing and blah, blah, blah. You know, MAP is minimum advertised pricing. And I was going to respond and say, I don't need to be an authorized dealer. I, you know, your MAP means nothing to me, like, because I'm not part of your program, whatever. And Lonnie's like, no, man, like, you need to have fun with this. He says, tell them that you bought 5,000 capos from
one of their retailers. Yeah.
One of the retailers that was closing shop and that you had to move them. So I send that email. I get a phone call within 20 minutes. And I'm not even sure still how they got my phone number. But he's like, yeah, this is Bill over at Kaiser. And we're just trying to figure out, you know, where you bought these and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't think I can, you know, reveal that because, you know, confidentiality and everything. So he hangs up. 20 minutes after that, all my capos sell. I had like 10 left. They all sell. They're all in the buyer's Kaiser. Okay. And it said, the shipping said, Kaiser, attention, legal department. So I go to ship them and I change the label and I take out attention legal department and it just says Kaiser. So I ship them out, and like a week later, once they arrive, I get a Facebook message of all things from somebody, and it's like a woman, and she's like, yeah, we got these capos and we're not sure why we got them and blah blah blah. And I didn't say a word. I'm just like, you guys wasted my time. I'm going to waste a whole bunch of yours now.
So it went to the wrong department at Kaiser.
Yeah, they didn't know what it was. Yeah, yeah, they had no idea. Yeah.
Oh, man.
See, that's the thing. They wanted to, they're trying to bully everybody because they want the price to be at like $20 instead of $15. and they're threatening everybody that, oh, it's not minimum advertised price or whatever. Like, they're trying to collude and control the price. Like, it's illegal. What they're doing is 100% illegal.
What you mean, like price fixing?
Price fixing. Laws. Thank you. Yeah. Not collusion. Price fixing. They're trying to price fix. Illegal. 100%.
I still can't believe you sent that message off. I was just joking around. Like, it'd be funny. Dude,
what recourse? Like, I had nothing to lose.
No. Can you imagine their legal department thinking about 5,000 of these items being?
Oh, God, yeah.
They probably had a real short list of anywhere that would have any, like, that kind many, of quantity.
Yeah.
You know, probably other they'd probably only be wholesalers.
Mm-hmm.
And they are probably making phone calls to figure out who are you working for? They probably figured they were going out the back door of one of their buyers. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, oh, I love getting John started on Vero because
the word Vero just like makes my skin crawl.
Well, and then they also get into, well, you can't show that because it has our image on it. You know, it has our trademarked image on it. Like, well, you put it there,
right?
Put it out in the world. But I honestly don't have that many problems with it. But I did have somebody, like, when I bought all this makeup, somebody said, "Hey, Lonnie, what would you do if you had Vero problems with?" I'm like, "Oh my god! Like, I don't even want to think about that."
Mm-mm.
Could you imagine
that thought out there?
Could you imagine if you bought $10,000 worth of makeup and then all of a sudden
Mercari?
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, I'd be selling it on Mercari or.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, could you imagine trying to schlep this stuff local on local sales? No, oh my god, dude.
No.
I guess I could try. You know, like, worst case, and that's why you got to buy stuff right. Buy it at the right price.
Cheap enough, yeah.
Worst case, I can move it in big bundles. And get all my money back. Like,
right.
That would be like the parachute bailout plan, you know?
Yeah.
But, I didn't want to come to that. But could you imagine that? Like, if you bought, like, let's say you invested, that's why, like the amount of money I invested in that, that's like near the top of what you would want to be into something for.
Yeah.
For eBay.
Yep.
If it's not going through a legit wholesale distributor type source.
Right.
You know, like, I bought it from a retail store, but
that's out of business. You can't return it.
Sales were final anyways, but I mean, that would have been bad.
I got a different question for you about it. Did you happen to see Pete's latest video?
No, but I had somebody ask me about it in my last video. They were like, they said that Pete just disposed of $72,000 worth of makeup. Does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a mascara and it had dried out.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't out of date. I mean, it could have been out of date, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was it didn't work anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So do you have any idea what kind of product, like which of your products have, you know, potential to dry up?
No. Although usually on like cosmetic type stuff, things with active ingredients, like things that like tighten the skin or acne type things like that are meant to like somehow chemically manipulate the skin.
Yeah.
Other than just slathering down a coat of paint on it, you know, the stuff that actually does things to the skin, like that, usually that's like got some kind of active ingredient and that's the kind of stuff that can expire.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know, like the paint stuff that people put on their skin, like that doesn't expire as quickly. But yeah, I don't know.
Have you seen any expiration dates on your stuff?
They all have codes on them, you know, like either crimp codes or date codes on the bottom. I bought them from an active retail establishment. So, but no, to answer your question, I don't have any idea what any of these dates are, but I haven't tried to look. Like the date codes, I could go online and I could find out what those date codes are.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I haven't done it. I'm almost scared to look, actually.
I'd say just try to move it fast, and it sounds like you are. You might be okay.
Well, that's what I said in my video yesterday. I'm like, I want to have 75% of this stuff gone within 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it gone within a year.
Like, yeah, I think it's a really good goal. I'd say you probably would be safe if you get it all gone in a year.
Where did Pete get that stuff from?
You know? I don't. He might have said it in his video.
He probably didn't say it because, like, why would you do that? But I almost wonder how it was stored. You know what I mean?
I think he just kept it in his warehouse.
Okay. Because that's one thing that I'm doing right now that I didn't used to do. I'm keeping my air conditioner since I've had the makeup in here. Because, mm-hmm. you know, most of the stuff, like everything in here, I don't ever let the temperature get too out of hand. But, like, when I leave on this trip next week to come see mm-hmm. you, it's going to get 90, 95 degrees outside. And the shed, if nobody's here in the shed for, you know, 4 or 5 days or whatever, it could get pretty toasty in here. Normally, I wouldn't worry about it. But since I've had the makeup in here, I keep the air conditioner. I put it on eco mode when I leave the shed every night.
That's cool.
And I put it on like 76 degrees. So it runs a little bit. The air conditioner runs a little bit, but it never lets it get past 76. So
are you going to leave it on when you leave?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. For sure. I can't let this makeup get damaged.
Yeah.
Not because of that anyways.
Right.
But the other side of that was, I haven't kept up with all Pete's sales on that, but he bought that stuff a pretty good while back, and he sold a crap ton of cosmetics.
Yeah, he listed out how many of those specifically he had sold.
Oh, okay.
Gosh, I'm trying to think now.
It was in the thousands?
I think maybe a couple thousand. I'm trying to remember now. I watched the video a couple days ago.
Anyway, go watch Pete's video. I need to.
Yeah, I'll link it down below too.
So we have three links now. We have George Ross.
Yep.
We got Brennan's. You need to link Brennan's channel too.
Yep.
You mentioned it. And then we've got Pete's video. I had to throw away 70. See, man, that's how I know I'm still not at his level. Like, my biggest purchase I've made in my life for reselling, my stuff was worth about $70,000.
Yeah.
He makes it, and I make a video, I bought $70,000 or whatever it was. And then Pete's video is, I threw away $70,000.
Yep. Pete is on a different level.
Yes. That's about right, huh? That's like his, what do you call it in retail? The shrink. That, like, I'm operating.
Yeah, shrinkage.
I'm operating in his shrinkage.
You know what I immediately think of when you say shrinkage is the Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, I know.
George and Jerry. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of. But it's funny, like, he throws away the amount that I'm buying, and it's the biggest buy I've ever made in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's why you got to buy it right, though, because of stuff like what Pete dealt with there.
Yep.
Man, that's crazy. He must have had some people. Did he say that he had people, like, sending messages like, this product's no good, and, like, wanting to return it and stuff like that? And that must have happened.
Well, no, at the beginning of the video, he just opened it up. I mean, that's probably how he caught it.
But
at the beginning
of the video,
he opens up the mascara, and he's, like, marking it on his hand, and he's like, this doesn't work.
It would have been better if he would have been trying to put it on his eyelashes. This doesn't work.
Oh, God. We're about the hour mark, man. You got anything else?
No. Well, kids, as of this week, except for the hurricane, which didn't even come here, the hurricane was supposedly going to come this direction. But
you sound disappointed.
No, I'm glad it didn't. So don't get me wrong. But the kids are back in school. All the kids are back in school 5 days a week starting this week here.
Wow.
I don't know how it is there. I guess it's not that way. But And then I got my daughter moved in to college last weekend before last. So she's gone. She's going to school. So everything's
exciting, man.
Yeah, it is. Everything's almost normal here.
Yeah.
For the most part, except for having to wear a mask.
It's got to feel good just to have some, a little bit of normalcy.
It does. And we have sports. We have baseball.
Yep.
We have football, which that's something I did yesterday. That was nice. I haven't done that in a while. I didn't move a muscle for about, I don't know. No, actually, day before yesterday for Sunday football. I just sat around and laid around and watched football for like 6 hours straight.
That's awesome.
It felt so good. So.
You have a Red Zone channel?
No, I don't have anything like that.
You're watching Joe Burrow.
Yep. So,
Well, guys, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We will do this again sometime soon, hopefully. Yeah.
As soon as we can.
Yep. Appreciate all the support, guys. If you want to send any questions, go to twoguyswithoutjobs.com. That is TWOguyswithoutjobs.com. There's a link down below in the description.
And record it on audio. Don't email
it. Send us the audio question.
Don't email it to me.
Yeah, it will not get seen.
Bye, y'all.
See ya.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. You better not try standing my way as I'm a walking.